You're going to record yourself. This is for watch ID.
Okay,
this is easier one. Welcome to Hemal Khatri's MS Defense. Hemal has been on the program since, 2 years back, fall 2004. He did his undergraduate study in Nirma Institute of Technology and is one of the, I think, probably a handful of people, or even the only one person who got a TA position and got recruited into MS program from the department. And then I think in the first semester he had a very nice flash. He took 3 courses and got 2 A pluses. And then 2 of them wound up being in AI. So he decided, since he knows AI already, he should do something else. So he's doing work on handling incompleteness in autonomous databases that he's going to talk about. And assuming he completes his defense today, he plans to go join Microsoft Search Engine Group.
So good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to my MS thesis defense. My master's thesis is on query processing over incomplete autonomous web databases. So first, we give a brief introduction about web databases. Recently, there are a lot of websites which are essentially supported by a back-end database server, and these websites allow users to query through a form-based interface. So consider used car selling websites such as cars.com, Yahoo Autos. All such websites allow users to input their query through a form-based interface. This query is then issued to the autonomous database running at the back-end server. This server fetches tuples which matches the user query, and then it wraps those tuples into a form-based interface in a web page form, and then returns the results to the user. Now, in such databases, they are inherently incomplete, or they have a lot of missing values. The primary reasons for these databases having missing values are, first, such web databases are often input by lay individuals without any curation. For example, websites such as cars.com, Yahoo Autos, they allow users to enter their used car to sell based on a form-based interface. So consider a user entering the value for model of a car as Accord, and he assumes that the make is obvious and he leaves the make field blank. As a result, this tuple will contain a missing value on make. We obviously know it's Honda, but just because the user didn't fill it, it's a missing value. Secondly, many of these web databases use automated information extraction techniques in order to populate the database. So these websites use crawlers to crawl other classified websites and then use those tuples to generate their database. Due to the inherent imperfection of these crawlers, such databases contain a lot of missing values. Also, in a data integration scenario where a mediator is performing data integration over different sources, it may be possible that the local schema of some source does not contain an attribute which is supported in the global schema of the database. Hence, this is like an incompleteness on an attribute. So we can't, for example, for a website like cars.com, it supports querying on body style for a car. However, websites like Yahoo Autos does not allow you to query on body style. So you can't get any tuples for a query on body style from Yahoo Autos. So now we formally define what exactly we mean by an incomplete or an uncertain tuple. So a tuple which has one or more of its attributes have a missing value is called an incomplete or an uncertain tuple. So to substantiate our claims on web databases containing missing values, we provide some statistics. So we crawled 2 popular websites selling cars, and we crawled around 25,000 tuples of this website. we found that 33.67% tuples were incomplete, which means that they contained at least one attribute missing. Specifically, 3.6% tuples contained a missing value on body style, and this is just a sample, not the entire database. So imagine how large missing values would be in a big database. Similarly, engine contained 8.1% missing values. For the second car, the numbers were slightly higher because the second website is not much curated. So, since these databases contain a lot of missing values, there is a need to handle querying over such databases which have a lot of missing values. So, first we formally define what problem we are trying to address. Yes.
So you are setting your results by only focusing on missing values. But
yeah.
I think to me it looks like this should only apply to no results return scenario too. User query, no results return. So now you have to...
Yeah, then you have to relax the query.
Yeah, so you can
assume
certain things are null even though they don't match.
Right.
Same relevance and retrieval looks like give me more.
Right, that's right.
Right? Am I right?
Yeah, I mean,
so
if you...
You look at in your motivation.
But I mean, our techniques are specifically focused on the case where the tuples have missing values. I mean, there has been a lot of work on query relaxation in order to get tuples which are not exactly satisfying. We relax the query by dropping some of the attributes which are less important.
Right, but if I get no matches, does your model help you identify which attribute would be the candidate now to be that? And
some previous work has been done on that, like based on the approximate functional dependencies, we have the attribute importance. So based on that, we can relax the queries on that. So basically, in autonomous databases, the mediator has no control over the database. For example, websites like cars.com, Yahoo Autos, if we are a mediator system, we do not have control of adding, modifying, or inserting records into the database. We just have to query the database through a form-based interface. So essentially, autonomous databases are databases over which the mediator or the query processor which we are developing has no control. Does that answer the question? So, assuming that we are dealing with autonomous databases, it may happen that many of the entities corresponding to tuples with missing values might be relevant to the user query. However, current query processing techniques only return answers that exactly satisfy the user query. So, all such tuples will have your attribute value exactly equal to the query attribute value. However, the problem with such techniques is that it has low recall because many of the relevant tuples are missed. Just taking an example, let's say you have a query make equal to Honda and your database contains this tuple. Clearly, we know that this tuple is relevant to the query. However, because you retrieve only exact answers, this tuple does not match your query attribute because null is not equal to Honda. Hence, this tuple won't be retrieved. So many such relevant tuples are missed. So we define now relevant uncertain tuple. So a tuple which exactly does not satisfy the user query, however, the entity represented by that tuple might be relevant to the user query. Such tuples are known as relevant uncertain tuples. This is an example of such type of tuple for the query queue. So now the problem we are trying to address is how do we support query processing over incomplete autonomous databases so as to retrieve ranked relevant uncertain answers? So first we look at some of the challenges involved in solving this. So as we said that our databases are autonomous over which the mediator has no control, the question arises as to how do you predict missing values in such databases, because you can't predict the value of a missing attribute and store it in the database because you do not have access over the database to write. Also, what complicates the matter is that most autonomous databases are on the web, and these databases only allow user access through a form-based interface. Hence, your query patterns are limited. For example, in this Yahoo Autos website, you cannot query this website to get all nulls for make. You have to bind the make to a specific value. Also, since we are dealing with web scenarios, the issue of data transmission costs and query processing costs come into picture. So you need to do this in a cost-effective manner with less cost. Next, it's possible that not all uncertain relevant answers are equally relevant to the user query. Like some answer may be more likely to be relevant and some may be less. So the question is, how do we retrieve ranked answers? How do we rank the answers which are uncertain or incomplete? Also, in web scenarios, only top K answers are important. So you don't have to present all the answers. Only top K are important. So we describe techniques for ranking such answers. So we first describe some related work which is directly connected to the work we do. So essentially, we handle incomplete databases which are similar to probabilistic databases once we access the probabilities for missing value. However, there is a catch here. You cannot predict the missing value and store it in the database because the database are autonomous. Hence, we access the probability distribution for missing values and use it to rank re-return queries which are then issued to get the relevant uncertain answers. There is some work on probabilistic databases, which is a trial system at Stanford, which deals with uncertainty over databases with lineage. And there is another work, Conquer system at University of Toronto, which are dealing with handling inconsistency in databases. Inconsistency means an attribute can have multiple values. Incomplete means also the same thing. We have a null value which can take any possible domain range of domain values. So there is similarity between the work which they do and which our do. But the primary difference is that we deal with autonomous databases which are not under our control, and all such techniques are designed on local databases which are under our full control. Also, our query writing framework which we describe is general enough that it can be used by above systems if the databases which we deal with are autonomous. Also, there has been some work on handling missing values and computing the value distribution for missing values, like using the EM algorithm, using Bayesian net, or association rules. For our web scenario, we use an approach which is quite unique in terms of web scenario, which we'll just describe. And we have also tested our systems against these approaches, and we have found that our approach is either equally good in terms of precision and recall, and is significantly less costly to learn as compared to this approach. So now we basically look at some of the naive approaches in solving our problem. So first we consider a sample query. Let's say you want to get all the cars having their body style equal to convertibles. Okay. The obvious approach which current query processors use is CAO, which stands for certain answers only. Here, the query processor just returns the answers which exactly satisfy the user query. As we saw before, this approach has low recall because many of the relevant answers may be missed. Next, we define a totally extreme, other extreme, in which the null attribute matches any concrete value. So whenever you are asking a query on body style equal to convertible, you return all answers which have body style equal to convertible and also body style equal to null. However, it's quite obvious that this approach has low precision because not all the cars which have a missing value on body style are convertibles. Some of them may be sedan or coupe. So this approach has low precision. Also, in web scenarios, as we mentioned before, we may not be able to retrieve all the tuples which are null from the database because they only allow querying through a fixed form-based interface and do not allow binding of null values to an attribute. Hence, it is infeasible. A slightly sophisticated approach is relevant uncertain answers called RUA. Here, after we retrieve all the null values, we sort of rank the results based on the prediction of missing values. So as to the intuition is that the tuples which are more likely to be relevant are ranked at the top. However, the problem with this approach is that because this approach uses the same technique as the second approach to retrieve all the tuples from the database, it is costly because in web databases you cannot retrieve so many tuples and many of them may be irrelevant. So, and it is infeasible because the web databases may not support querying on null for an attribute as the second approach. So now we describe our system QPR, which stands for Query Processing over Incomplete Autonomous Databases. This system handles the challenges that we described previously as well as overcomes the limitation of the above approaches which we described. So this is a system diagram for our approach. First, this box is essentially our system QPR, which is sort of an interface between the autonomous database and the user. So first, whenever a user issues a query, the query reformulator module first takes the query and issues it to the autonomous database. This gives us the base result set. This consists of tuples which exactly satisfy your user query, exact matching tuples. Now, our approach is to retrieve relevant uncertain answers which have missing values on the query attribute but are yet relevant to our query. So, the query reformulator next uses a set of rewritten queries. Notice here that this approach does not behave in the same manner as AUA. It only restricts its retrieval to only a few tuples which are relevant rather than retrieving all the tuples as the previous approach is RUA which we described. Hence, it does not retrieve all the tuples. For query rewriting, it uses some attribute correlations mined in terms of AFTs and classifiers which we will describe in the next slide, and we get a sort of an extended result set which consists of tuples which have missing value on the query attribute. Once these tuples are obtained, the result processor ranks these tuples and then presents certain answers which are the answers which exactly satisfy the user query as well as uncertain answers which are tuples containing missing values on the query attribute. So now we describe each and every component of the system in a detail with an example. So as we described in the previous slide, our approach only retrieves a restricted set of relevant tuples rather than retrieving all the tuples which have a missing value on the query attribute. Hence we name this approach as RRUA. It stands for Restricted Relevant Uncertain Answers. So considering a query body style equal to convertible, we first issue this query on the autonomous database to get the base result set. Notice that this set contains all body style equal to convertible, so they are exactly matching the user query. From the above base result set, it's quite intuitive that if you were to issue queries which have model as either A4, Z4 or Boxster, you are more likely to get tuples which have convertible body styles. But along with them, you might possibly get tuples which have their body style equal to convertible because all these cars are convertibles. So we capture this attribute correlations in terms of functional dependencies. One.
Why not here, by make or by year or by price? Why do you pick a model?
We'll just describe why exactly do we pick that. So what we have is we capture the intuition about attribute correlation in terms of functional dependencies. For example, in the database we have make model determines make as an obvious functional dependency because you know that if you know the model, you can know the make, like all Accords are Honda, all Sentras are Nissan, and so on. However, the problem is with this is functional dependencies may not exist for all attributes. Also, web databases do not advertise the functional dependencies, so you have to mine them. The solution we give to this is to learn approximate functional dependencies. Okay. So in this database, first of all, what is an approximate functional dependency? or an AFD. AFD is the same thing as a functional dependencies, except that it can be violated by a small fraction of tuples. So in this database, we have an AFD model determines body style, and each AFD has a confidence, which shows the strength of this AFD. For example, you know that sometimes, like BMW Z4 model is a convertible. However, cars like Civic have both sedan as well as coupe body styles. Hence, this functional dependency does not hold totally. So this is essentially an approximate functional dependency. It holds in approximate 90% of the cases. This is learned based on a sample, which we'll describe in the next slide. So once you get this AFD, we use this AFD determining set, which are the attributes on the left hand side, which is model here. We use this attribute in order to rewrite the queries based on the base result set. So we rewrite queries model equal to A4, model equal to Z4, and model equal to Boxster, because such models are present in our base result set. So the idea here is that we would likely to get more tuples which have a missing value, which is quite likely to be convertible with this query, rather than issuing a random query like give me all the cars which have model equal to Civic, because not all Civics are convertible. No Civics are convertible. So now we describe how do we actually mine attribute correlations. So since we are dealing with autonomous databases over which we have no control, we need to learn such attribute correlations on a sample of the database. So we essentially extract a small sample of the database by issuing random probing queries, and then we apply TAIN algorithm, which is a well-known algorithm for mining AFDs and approximate keys. Approximate keys are essentially in a similar sense as AFDs. Approximate keys are primary keys, except that they can be violated by a small fraction of tuples. Yeah.
No,
it's like you have to give it a sample and then you get the result only on that sample. Incremental, you have to just put the sample, everything sample again, it's not incremental.
Okay.
So now, as we told before that, we use AFDs for query rewriting in order to retrieve relevant uncertain answers. So the whole idea of issuing rewritten queries is to get additional tuples which have a missing value on the body style and which are relevant. However, if you have an AFD in which the determining set consists of a key, for example here, vehicle identification number is a key. All vehicles have a distinct vehicle identification number. So this would be a sort of a functional dependencies, which is also an AFD with confidence one. So here we need to prune such AFDs which have approximate keys in the determining set of attributes, because this AFD would not be helpful in retrieving any additional tuples.
It's
taken from a published paper 4 years ago
by
Futala et al. Mani Futala et al. From ICD 98. So here, yeah, I think. We have a citation. Yeah. Okay. So, essentially, we prune such AFDs based on the approximate keys to get a list of AFDs which we get for query rewriting, and we also use AFDs for feature selection in our classifier, which we'll describe in the next slide. Here, for each attribute, we may get multiple AFDs. That's possible. Even after pruning, it's possible that we get multiple AFDs for each attribute. We'll see how we deal with them later. Yeah.
Are you going to talk about categorical versus continuous?
I mean, we have an algorithm for them, but we don't talk about them in this particular talk.
Okay.
We essentially, it's not even the thesis. I mean, we have an implementation, but it didn't have any significant. We just used the current techniques of discretization of attributes like we discretize price and mileage
okay.
into a bins of thousand. We round off to thousands,
right.
and then we use that to learn the AFD. Just normal discretization. So now we describe how do we rank the return queries. It's possible that not all queries may be equally good in terms of retrieving relevant uncertain answers. For example, Z4 model cars are more likely to be convertible than a car with an A4 model, because A4 is an Audi and Audi A4 can be both sedan as well as convertible, whether all BMW Z4s are convertibles. Hence, we need to rank queries so as to get the most relevant results first. Second advantage of ranking queries is that whenever the database or network resources are limited, the mediator can choose to issue just the top K queries and hence get the most relevant result, which is very much likely in web scenarios. So in order to rank the queries, we learn value distributions. To learn value distributions, we pose it as a classification problem. For a given null value, we compute the value distribution using an NBC classifier with M estimates by using AFD as a feature selection step. It has been shown in machine learning literature that feature selection and classification does improve classification accuracy. Hence, we use AFD as a feature selection for our classifier. Next, we need to rank the queries. So the rank of a query QI is equal to probability of the query attribute equal to the query attribute value, which is what your query attribute is, given the tuple, given TI. Here, TI is essentially the projection over the base result set, which we just get on the determining sets of attributes for the AFD. Like here, we got this query Q1 model equal to A4 based on the determining set model. Hence, the rank of this query would be equal to the query attribute equal to the query attribute value given the determining set, which is model equal to A4. So if there are multiple determining attributes, we essentially use a independence assumption between the attributes. So here we see that all these three queries have different ranks. So once we get the ranks for the queries, we rank the queries based on the ranking score and then issue the queries in that order. Next, the issue is once you get the results which have a missing value on the query attribute, how do you rank these results? Because we only want to show the top results, the most relevant results at the top. Yeah. That's a very good question. So essentially, we saw a correlation between the AFD confidence and the ranking values. For example, we have an AFD that model determines make, which is a pretty high confidence AFD because almost all models have a unique make. So if for such AFDs, we see that this probability value will be very high. However, we only need to see the relative probability values. We are not concerned in the absolute values because after all we are ranking the queries. So what matters is the relative ranking of queries. So if the confidence of the AFD is very high, we are likely to get the probability values also high. Not quite actually. It does not happen for all the cases because in cases where the AFD confidence is low, like say example 0.6, in that case, for some particular set of attributes, you may get high probability values. This is because of the distribution of values. So AFD is like a general thing, but once you compute this probability values, they are basically based on the attribute values, not on a general attribute level correlation. So there are two distinctions. This is attribute level, attribute value level, and AFDs are attribute level. So next we rank the answers which we retrieve which have a missing value on the query attribute based on the rank of the re-return query that retrieved it. So we don't need to rank the uncertain answers again. They are exactly same as the rank of the queries. So if multiple answers are returned by a single query, they are all ranked equally. And of course, we filter answers which are already there in the base set, because those are already shown. So in the previous slides, we discussed that there may be more than one AFD for each attribute. So we experiment with different approaches of combining AFDs and classifiers, because we use AFDs for two purposes, query rewriting and for feature selection in classifiers. So one good approach is we use just the best AFD, like just pick up the AFD which has the highest confidence, because that is more likely to be strong. On the other extreme, we do not use AFD at all. We just use all the attributes. So we completely ignore AFD information. Our experiment showed that if we use the first approach, it's pretty good, except that in few cases where the confidence of the AFD is very low, like below 0.5, the classification accuracy degrades. Hence, in that case, we use all the attributes for feature selection. This is our third approach, called hybrid one AFD approach. Another possible approach is for each AFD, we learn one classifier, and then for the valid distribution, we do like a weighted voting of all the classifiers. Our experiment showed that the hybrid one AFD approach results in best classification accuracy. Hence, for our experiment, we use this approach. So now to perform an empirical evaluation of a system, QPR, we use two real-world test databases. So we crawl Autoreader website containing around 100,000 tuples and the census database from UCI machine learning repository containing 50,000 tuples. Now, the question is, how do we evaluate this? Since we showed in the previous slide that these databases contain a lot of missing values, so if you don't know the missing values, how do you know whether your approach is correct or not? So in order to evaluate our system against a ground truth, we essentially consider only complete tuples from these databases, and then we artificially introduce missing values in 10% tuples within these databases, so that we know what exactly was the missing value. So this is what we call an oracular study, because we know the real value and then we check our approach against this oracular study. So first we compare the three approaches which we just described. The RRUA, which is our approach of only issuing the restricted queries which give us highly relevant answers. RUA is the approach in which we retrieve all the nulls, rank them and show the result. And AUA is a dumb approach in which we just show the result randomly.
Can you go back to the previous slide? So
No, we only introduce the nulls in the attributes for which we have AFDs, so as to evaluate the effectiveness of our AFD-based approach. Because for some attributes like mileage, you do not have an AFD. So we do not introduce nulls on mileage and such attributes for which we don't have the AFDs.
And when you are mining the AFDs, you don't use only the complete tuples, right? You use the incomplete.
No, we use only the complete tuples, only the complete sample, which is like only a fraction of the entire database. But AFD mining algorithm is robust as against null values. So it would consider null as a different value, as a sort of a other value.
Okay, so AFD mining is robust.
It's robust.
Null values. Now
yeah.
We are knocking out certain values, right? And we are trying to infer using whatever
This is to show just the effectiveness of our approach. I mean, we cannot get AFDs for each and every attribute. That's a fact, because you cannot predict everything. Yeah. Yeah, actually we tried using the problem with this is that in association rules, they are attribute value correlation. So you have that given model equal to Centra, the likelihood of body style equal to coupe is 0.6. So all these are sort of like attribute value level correlations. However, in our approach, we are essentially focusing on two things. Query rewriting, for which we cannot use such attribute value level correlation. We need to have higher level correlation in terms of attributes. Also, in web databases, since you are using a sample, you do not have all the domain values. for example, for an odd car like say Dodge, some Viper, you don't have an association rule because you don't have it in your sample. So in such a case, you cannot retrieve the relevant answers for such a query. So it's the question of attribute level and attribute value correlations. So we try to be more abstract in terms of attributes so as to help us in query rewriting. And we also tried to use this approach, like association rules, and the accuracy was very low for association rules. So here we compare our three approaches. Here recall that AU and RUA may not be applicable because web interfaces only allow querying through a specific form and you have to bind. You cannot get give me all tuples having null on body style. So it's now we show the result assuming that both AU and RUA are applicable. So if they were applicable, what would be the result and how good is our approach compared to them? So we see that this dark black line is our approach, and we get very high precision. Another thing important here is that we are evaluating only against uncertain answers. We are not considering certain answers. So this is just for incomplete answers. For certain answers, which means which exactly satisfy the query, all approach have the same result. So we don't compare them. So we see that RUA approach, which uses the same ranking criteria as RRUA because both use the same value distributions. However, since RUA retrieves too many tuples, its precision slightly falls as it retrieves more and more tuples. This is also evident from the fact that the numbers in the brackets show the number of tuples retrieved by each approach. So as we see that for our approach, we only retrieve a fraction of tuples as compared to the other two approaches. So clearly, with this, only a small fraction tuples, and we get a much higher precision curve. This is because our approach only retrieves tuples which are most likely to be relevant to the query. On the census database, we have a similar thing. Both RUA and RRUA overlap till here. This is the dotted line for RUA. However, you see that our approach does not give 100% recall because we do not retrieve all the null values because we only use a restricted version of query rewriting. It's also evident from the fact that we only return a fraction of tuples as compared to the other two approaches. And obviously, as AUA is a dumb approach which just shows the incomplete tuples, it has a very low precision. Now, in web scenarios, only the top key results are important. So instead of evaluating against the entire spectrum of precision recall, we just show how our approach performs for top key tuples. We see here that for top key tuples, our approach, RRUA, does significantly well, almost same here, but then for the later tuples, the RUA approach degrades in precision. However, the precision which we have until the 100 tuple is pretty high. Also, the AUA approach is really bad because it does not do any sophisticated ranking to rank the relevant tuples. Retrieve from the database, but I think they are also same return to the user.
It's not the same because RUA, we don't rank the retrieval, right? We retrieve all the
non-managed,
then rank it locally.
Yeah. So this is just the top ranked tuples, so which are essentially the ones returned to the user.
But why there is a, because the ranking scheme for the RUA and RUA are the same,
yeah.
Why RUA has a decline?
So the reason for that is that because this is just a ranking, it's not like an exact prediction. Like we are doing a sort of a prediction and the prediction cannot be 100% perfect. However, because RUA returns too many tuples and because like for example, if we get a ranking wrong for like a bunch of tuples, we get the precision low because a bunch of tuples go wrong. Whereas in our restricted approach, even if because we retrieve less number of tuples, we get less number of tuples wrong. And hence, while we are showing top 100 tuples, our curve is higher than the RUA. Similarly is the case for census database. We see that the RUA and RRUA are almost overlapping. These are the RRUA. And in the most of the cases, it is overlapping because they essentially use the same ranking. But just because we cannot retrieve so many tuples, that's why we use RRUA. And the AUA approach is pretty low because it does not rank tuples. So, yeah, I mean, it's a prediction. I mean, you cannot get prediction 100% right. I mean, for example, this query, this is not like a strong AFD.
No, this is the social queries that come
from yeah.
their own that you think are less good.
Exactly.
But they actually generate higher precision.
So it depends on the AFD confidence. If you have a high AFD confidence, generally you will get a pretty good precision call. But if your AFD confidence is low, your prediction accuracy will be low. And hence, you get sort of some relevant, some unrelevant tuples. It could be a zigzag type of a call. Because all these have large domain values. For example, model has like 1200 domain values. So you cannot predict so many large number of values. So prediction accuracy definitely degrades in some cases. So in this, we first rank the queries. So now we show the effectiveness of our query ranking techniques. So the idea behind ranking is that first we get the most relevant tuples, and then later on, the precision decreases. So this is quite proved by the curves that, and these curves are like average over 30 queries, not over a single query, but this is an average over 30 test queries on the CAST database, and similarly on the census database. So we see that for the first query, we get very high precision, but as you increase the number of queries, the precision slightly drops down. And finally, sometimes a query is pretty good, and then you get high precision, and then again it drops down. So this proves that the initial queries give us highly relevant tuples, and as the query, as you issue more and more queries, the precision decreases.
So once the precision is around 50%, then you should question the usability of your system, right?
No, actually, no.
The line
no, this is just to show the entire spectrum. For example, what happens is that by the time like the 10 queries retrieve, we already get like 500 tuples. So in web scenarios, nobody is going to see 500 tuples. So we just stop at like say 100 tuples at the max. So this is over the entire spectrum, but it happens that for each query, we don't get just one tuple. We may get more than one incomplete tuples. So it's not that this curve will be over like say 10,000 tuples or maybe less than that. But
so in curves, you achieve precision up to 8%.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
In census, you start with
55. Yeah, I mean,
I think census is more difficult.
I think that's because of the confidence of the AFDs and because the census database has a very restrictive type of AFDs. For example, like we have 4 or 5 attributes determining a single attribute.
Right.
So in this case, it's less likely that we will retrieve more tuples. We will get at most 1 or 2 tuples which have missing values because of the restricted nature of the queries. So as the queries are more restricted, we'll get less tuples.
But that's recall issue. This is the precision.
No, precision.
Precision is among the things that you get. How much
that's because of the query types. I mean, we are using like 30 queries. So for some queries, we get like pretty high precision. This is like the average over 30 queries.
I see.
So it's not for a single query. For single query, for some queries, we get pretty high precision, but for some very low. But this is what we put the average over 30 queries. So that's a big number. So since we are using our approach based on a sample, we need to worry about the robustness of our approach. So what we do is we try to achieve the same thing with different sample sizes. We use 3%, 5%, 10%, and 15% of sample sizes. And as you see that for this query, for almost all the sample sizes, the precision obtained at the kth query is almost the same. So as you can see in this figure, we get pretty high precision because this query is pretty good. Yeah.
So the percentages are sample size is 3% of the population?
No, actually, yeah. What we do is we cannot issue queries to the web databases because they may block us. So what we do is we sort of, and as we mentioned in the first slide, we extract 100,000 tuples from the database. So that is like our complete database. That's the world for us. And then we take only 3% of that 10,000.
Where did you get that 100,000 number?
That we scrap. I mean, we scrap the Yahoo Autos website or the Autotrader's website. We scrap like 5 different websites for that.
Mm.
What is the word you use?
Scrapped. So essentially we issue queries through an automated technique and it retrieves the tuples for us.
Okay.
It gets the HTML and then we extract the tuples from the HTML.
Okay.
Keep asking queries to get all the whole
exactly. So
all of the next things.
Exactly. So it's like we first generate a bunch of links, then we issue those links to get us pages, and for each page we get like say 10 cars. And then we extract make, model, year, and all other attributes.
Which database is this? Workshop is
this census database.
What is the workshop attribute?
It's like essentially the occupation actually. So I think workshop, yeah, that's the attribute which has.
I see.
Now there is one issue with when we are building such a system. So when we build the actual system, we are presenting uncertain answers. So whenever a query processor is presenting uncertain answers, it essentially becomes sort of like a recommender system. It's recommending some tuples which do not exactly satisfy the user query, but are likely to be relevant. So for a query, year equal to 2000, how would we convince the user into believing us? Like we want this system to be used. So the question is, how do we convince users to believe our results? Would they agree with us? So for example, let's see that the query is this and we present them this tuple. I mean, why would you believe this? I don't know whether this tuple satisfies my query or not, because it has a missing value for year. So in order to support the user, what we do is we provide an explanation. So this explanation says that we have determined that this car's year is 60% likely to be 2000 based on price and mileage. So then the user can see that, oh yeah, the price is 15,000 and the mileage is 18,000. So yeah, it must be a 2000 car. So we provide such explanations to the user. This is based on our value distributions and our AFDs. So this would at least convince the user into believing that, let me just click this car and explore more about it. So we actually conducted a user study based on this approach, but due to time limitations, we have not included this in our talk, but it's there in the thesis. So next, we applied this query processor which we built before in a data indication scenario over multiple incomplete autonomous databases. So first consider a mediator having a global schema as shown in the figure. It's performing data integration over two sources, cars.com and carsdirect.com. As you see here, cars.com does support a query on body style. So this vehicle type is a body style, which is convertible, wagon, SUV, whatever. However, this website, carsdirect, does not support any query on body style. So now, if a user issues a query body style equal to coupe on this global schema, because it does support a query on body style, this source carsdirect.com will be ignored because the mediator cannot query it, because it has no way of querying this database. So the question is, there are many cars in this database which have coupe body style, but we cannot retrieve it, hence many cars are missed. So the question is, how do you retrieve cars from this database given the access patterns of the website? So in order to support such querying, we use correlations from different data sources. So what we do is, we first define two terms, correlated source and maximum correlated source. So consider four sources with the local schema as shown in the figure, and the mediator global schema, which is like the union of all the attributes for the four sources. So suppose someone issues a query on body style, source S1 is ignored because it does not support querying on body style, right? However, source S2, S3, S4 do support querying on body style, and each has like an AFD for body style. So the idea here is, we use the AFDs learned from these other sources to retrieve relevant answers having body style equal to coupe from the first source. However, notice that first AFD for source S2 has engine and drive, but S1 does not support engine and drive in its local schema, so you can't query on it. However, S3 and S4 has AFD on model, which is supported, and make and price, which is also supported. So you can use either one of the AFDs from the two sources. So we call S3 and S4 are correlated sources with S1 on body shot attribute. Since there are two sources, we would like to select one source, the AFD from one source, and hence we select the AFD which has the highest confidence. So here this AFD has 0.8, this is 0.6, hence we use S3 as the maximum correlated source in order to retrieve tuples from source S1. So to show this in our example query, we have an AFD for cars.com which has model determines body style with confidence 0.9. Now since model is supported by cars detect, as we saw before, cars.com is the maximum correlated source for cars detect, because right now there are only two sources. If there are more, we'll worry about them, but right now only two sources are there.
If you have more than one AFD,
we just consider the highest confidence AFD, because they are more likely to give us higher prediction accuracy. So first we issue this query on cast.
Hybrid
means essentially best, plus if the confidence of the best one is low, then you use all the attributes. So here, first we issue this query on the body style so as to get all exact answers on cast.com, because cast.com does support querying on body style. Next, we use the determining set of attributes for the AFD model in order to generate this re-return queries. Once we generate these queries, we issue this query on this website because it allows querying on model, and thus we get relevant answers from carsdetect.com on body style. We also rank the queries using the same value distributions as we described before, so that we only get the relevant answers first and irrelevant answers later. So to evaluate this, we consider three sources: cars.com, Yahoo Autos, and carsdetect.com. So Yahoo Autos and carsdetect.com do not allow querying on body style, but once we retrieve a tuple from them, we can check the body style and see if it's indeed a relevant answer to our query or not. So in order to evaluate this, we use correlations from cars.com and value distributions on 5 test queries on body style attribute. So this is a curve for all the answers retrieved. We are not filtering off only the answers which are satisfying our query. We are considering all answers and seeing how many relevant answers are we getting. We see that for top 100 tuples, we retrieve a lot of relevant answers for carsdetect.com, and the precision remains pretty high in the 0.60s, around 0.60s up till top 100 tuples. We also try the same thing on Yahoo Autos, and we see that for the top 35 tuples, because that's the only tuples which we retrieve from this database, we get high precision, around 0.75. So this shows that using correlation from other sources does indeed help us to retrieve relevant answers from the sources not supporting it. Next, whenever you are considering data integration, handling joins is an important task performed by mediators. So we consider a scenario in which source S1 is incomplete and source S2 is complete. The local schema of the sources are given here. For source S2, model is the primary key, and for S1, model is the foreign key. So essentially we join on model. The mediator provides an integrated view for these two sources as shown. So whenever the user asks, give me all the Honda cars along with the ratings, the source has to first of all get cars from source S1 and then join them with the corresponding ratings from source S2. So now we first of all describe the issues in handling joins. Since we mentioned before that we are quite similar to probabilistic databases in the way we handle joins, because once we assess the probabilities, we essentially are in the same line of work as probabilistic databases. So So in probability databases, when you are performing joins, you have to deal with disjunction of tuples. So for example, this tuple has a null on model and it's 0.6 civic and 0.4 record. So when you join this tuple with a tuple from source S2, you are likely to get a disjunctive tuple. So it could be either of one of those tuples, but we don't know which one it is. So each tuple has like a score or a rank of its likelihood of being a relevant join answer. So because civic is 0.6, we have the rank of this tuple as 0.6, and because accord is 0.4, the rank of that tuple is 0.4. So this is like a disjunctive tuple. We have to show one of them but not both. So in web scenarios, we cannot show such disjunctive tuples to the user because user don't like to see such disjunction. They only need to see one answer. So we essentially do an approximation and we just show one tuple which has the highest score out of the disjunction as a result to the user instead of showing the entire disjunction. So we now describe our join query processing using the same approach we described before. So we do not do the, and traditionally what people do is they first retrieve all the tuples from source 1 and then join them with the tuple from source 2 in order to get the join results. However, since we are in a web scenario, we only retrieve join results which are highly likely to be relevant, not all join results, as we do in our previous approach. So assuming that we have a query make equal to Honda on the used car global schema, first we issue the query on source S1. This gives us all the tuples which have make equal to Honda, because they exactly satisfy the user query. Next, we need to retrieve tuples like this, which is relevant tuple because it's definitely a Honda car. So in order to retrieve such tuples, we issue the re-return queries, model equal to ODC, based on the base result set, and model equal to accord. Because we have an AFD, model determines make. So we use this model to retrieve this tuple. Once we retrieve this tuple, now we need to join these four tuples to the tuples from source S2 to get the ratings. Here we have one tuple which has Honda, but the model value is null. It is 0.6 civic and 0.4 accord. So the question is, how do you join this tuple with this particular table? You can either join with civic or accord. So what we do is, we first need to retrieve tuples from this source because it is an autonomous database. So we need to rewrite queries to retrieve tuples from this source. So we generate three more queries, model equal to ODC because this is here. This query has a rank 1 because it's not uncertain, it's totally certain. Model equal to accord, which also has rank 1. However, this null can be either civic or accord, but as we are doing approximation, as we described previously, we only consider the highest probability value, which is civic. Hence, the rank of this query would be 0.6. So notice that this query rank would be the same as the rank of the uncertain join results when we try to finally get the join results. So we first issue queries Q3 and Q4 to retrieve tuples accord and ODC. Thus we get the join results. So this tuple has a null on make and your query was on make. However, our prediction says that this tuple is 100% likely to be Honda car based on our learning method. So this is an uncertain join result with the ranking score of 1, which was the same as the rank of the query accord. Next, we retrieve the tuple civic, which has a rank 0.6, and hence we get this tuple, which has a rank of 0.6. So this is how we perform joins over the two tables. And because of our techniques, we make sure that only the relevant answers are retrieved first. Because you know that the first one is definitely a Honda car, but the second one can be or cannot be a Civic. So it's uncertain. So we just retrieve join answers in the order of their relevance. So in order to evaluate this, we tried to compare our approach against the RUA approach. So now here, since we are performing joins, we see that the number of tuples retrieved is only a fraction of the ones retrieved by RUA. It's 24 compared to 2, and we get very high precision also for model equal to Civic. Then for model equal to Audi, it happens that both the curves are almost overlapping, except that still we only get a fraction of tuples as compared to RUA, and we get higher precision as compared to the RUA approach. And finally, for the query on ratings, we see that in this case our approach performs slightly lower than RUA. This is because we might have missed some of the relevant tuples which are possibly retrieved by the RUA approach. However, if you can see that our approach only retrieves as always a fraction of tuples from RUA. So next, this concludes my
So you make a number of choices at certain points, right? And put together the system, and I'm going to choose the highest one.
Yeah.
So it seems like the guiding principle behind choices is to get the relevant answers first.
First, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I think you should emphasize that in your thesis contributions and introduction.
Right.
You are putting together with the aim of getting
the relevant
answers first.
Yes, yeah,
because
agreed.
You can make other choices and still get all the relevant answers.
Yes, yeah.
Especially, go back like 5-5.
Right.
So isn't that last couple extremely relevant, whereas the third couple is
No, actually the query is on Honda, but you are looking for the joint results. You are not looking for just cars. So if you are looking only cars with Honda and I don't need the rating, then perfectly this would be higher here because we don't care about this null, because we don't care about model. But here we are specifically interested in the ratings of the cars, not the car mod makes. Yeah, actually, I thought that this notation actually means that we are projecting over all the attributes, because used car schema contains all the attributes, as we showed in the previous slide.
Okay, so the problems have last couple that the rating might be 5 or 94.
Right.
So
you don't know what exactly it is, so you are more likely to get a wrong there.
You want to downgrade it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Couples have the same rating as the query.
Yeah.
Why isn't the ranking of the, shouldn't individual couples be more or less relevant?
No, I mean, like, since we are using the determining set of attributes, so all tuples with an Accord model are same likely to be Honda. Like, you don't have this Accord is more Honda and this Accord is less Honda. Like, all Accords have the same relevance of being Honda. So you don't have different rankings for the queries.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, in that sense, because you are using just the determining set of attributes for our feature selection step.
No. But I mean, if your AFD is very low confidence, and then, for example, let's say you figured out that the model determines color,
okay,
not model determines make.
Okay.
So, and you somehow figured out that Accords tend to be red, based on your sample. Because after all, that is something that you can learn.
Yeah.
Now, it is possible that two of the Accords you received are actually red.
Right,
many of them are not.
Right.
You know.
So in this case, like, we had this issue before, and what we were thinking is, like, we can do a second level filtering based on other AFDs. Like, for each attribute, we have multiple AFDs. So we can do like a second level sorting of tuples based on the second AFD. So we would again rank the tuples based on the second AFD.
Right. Well, you already have actually reevaluate those against individual tuples.
But then essentially we are using all the attributes. I mean, what we were trying to predict attain was to do a feature selection step before ranking, because we don't want to rank on all the attributes. We only want to do feature selection before classification, because
That will give us more higher accurate.
If those aren't values for feature collection, why can't you also use them for ranking and coupling? It seems like it's the same information and maybe even the same ranking.
But then essentially you are, suppose they are like irrelevant attributes like say transmission, engine, so essentially you are considering such irrelevant attributes also into your probability calculation, which are totally irrelevant. Like you don't have any relevance of color with engine or like say price or something like that. So we don't want to include such irrelevant attributes in our ranking calculation. That's why we only consider the determining set of attributes for the AFP. I mean, another approach could be like we could use different multiple AFDs, so like to filter rank in a second level, because those attributes are still important for if the AFD determines it.
Yeah, but
like
Ford,
if a Ford Taurus and but if it's a brother car, like another maker of Taurus, and they
I agree with you, man. We had this
that's
issue.
That's an interesting issue, which is basically re-ranking
the tuples.
Re-ranking the tuples because you now have additional
information.
So at the time when you rewrote,
which
you
not
the only thing you are looking is you're saying, well, when you picked one of the attributes and you decided to rewrite the
right,
and that. Now that the tuple came in its full glory, except some null values, do you have a higher ability?
After
there are complementary. Suppose you have two different ways of predicting the missing value. And you decided to use one AFD to rewrite, but then having got the values, you could use the other AFD to also to I mean yeah, add both to the other thing.
I thought we just talked about outcome like this.
Yeah, we did, but that was We did ensembles, but we saw that the classification accuracy did not improve in that. But that was just to learn the value distribution. Here we are doing like a second level ranking after the first level. So you can use the second AFD for sort of another ranking.
It's not clear to me whether those results are not correlated to what you would find here either. Because when you do the
they are not correlated.
Basically, the ensemble thing essentially did not do much better than single AFD and the hybrid AFD thing. This makes me wonder why would we believe that re-ranking would be any better.
I mean
it
it's like slightly
a ensemble looked like a good idea before we did.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we expected that to be the winner and yet it wasn't.
But I mean, many of them are low confidence AFD, so I mean they might be sort of
noisy
and maybe it affecting our weight. So I mean we need to still filter on what ensemble do we do actually. So now I describe some other contributions which I am not able to talk anymore.
I want to ask one more question.
Yeah.
I mean, you are doing a prediction on the output, for example.
Uh-huh.
What if you learn a decision tree classifier to predict the model?
Well, decision tree is not a bad idea. Actually, we tried looking at this association rules, but it was very costly to compute it. I mean, for even a small sample, because of the large domain sizes, it took like lots and lots of time to learn such an association rule. I mean, association rules are also like...
Not association.
Yeah, decision trees also... Yeah, that's right, but we were more concerned on like attribute level correlations, so as we can use rewriting, not just rank them. For ranking, we can use such decision tree, but when you rewrite, you cannot...
Ranking of the attributes.
Ranking of the tuple, queries, queries, query ranking. But how do you first of all issue the queries? So to fit that, we use this approach of AFTs.
So right now we are doing attribute selection using the AFT, right?
Right.
But the decision tree could also give you, you know, the top three most important attributes for predicting.
Decision tree would essentially give you like sort of like if you have this attribute, this and this, then what's the probability that your
but
missing value is
the first attribute,
yeah,
to divide the set.
But that is also
would rank the attribute. It would give you a ranking of the attribute.
Yeah, that's right, based on the
it's
entropy.
Not directly relevant.
Yeah.
It's not directly relevant, but
yeah, that's a good that's a good point, yeah. Exactly, I agree.
So something that was related to suppose you actually compute a Bayes
network. Yeah.
Okay, really.
Yeah.
These are related.
Yeah.
Now the Bayes network topology is sort of telling you much more than the AFT.
Right.
You know, I mean, there were some experiments and actually learning the Bayes net directly, those will give you more interesting attribute level correlations. And then the TPT, you know, the conditional probability tables are the value level correlations.
Right.
So if you look at it from that point of view, the MVC and the AFT that we are seeing is kind of more
relaxed,
you know, much more relaxed version.
But
much faster. And it
exactly.
Ends up being important, actually.
Yeah.
And the sampling, the training wound up being the killer for the patient.
What did you say, AFT learning complexity?
It's actually exponential to the number of attributes.
So it's like the
it's 2 raised to n. Yeah, sort of like the association rules.
Sort of like the association.
Yeah. Now we describe query processing in terms of both incompleteness as well as when the user queries are imprecise. So as more and more lay users are accessing the web databases, it's possible that many of the queries they post are imprecise. So imprecise means that user might be looking for a Civic. He might issue a query like, give me all cars which have model like Civic. However, even though we show them tuples like, say, Corolla or Accord or Camry, they still might be somewhat relevant to his query because he's not sure exactly what he's looking for. So here, for example, if you consider traditional databases and if you ask this query, you will only give tuples 1 and 6 because they have all model equal to Civic. However, it's possible that tuples 2 and 3, which have Accord and Camry, might still be relevant to your original query because they are similar. On the top of that, whenever the database is incomplete, you have some tuples 4 and 5, which have a null on model, which this null can be either Civic or Accord. So the more likely, say, if the null value is 0.6 Civic and 0.4 Accord, and if you feel that Accord is very much similar to Civic, then obviously this tuple is relevant because it is either Civic or Accord and both of them are somewhat related to the user query, and Civic is directly related whereas Accord is somewhat partially related to the query. So we would like to rank such tuples, similar tuples as well as incomplete tuples in this scenario. So we have devised a system for that which is called QUIC. So due to time limitations we do not describe it here, but it's there in the thesis. Then I would like to summarize some other contributions in collaboration with Garrett Wolf. All the approaches which I described essentially were on single queries, but all the system is applicable for multi-attribute selection queries. The only thing we need to do is like to add additional query predicate in order to filter off the tuples which do not satisfy that predicate. Also, I have developed this QUIC system for query processing under imprecision and incompleteness, which has a user interface and it's a fully running system right now. and we are currently working on it to modify the relevance of this system. Also, since I talked before that, we are using a sample. So our learning can be biased on this sample. So in order to avoid such sample biases, we try to learn valid distributions on the base result set. So instead of using learning an offline distribution on the sample, we essentially learn on the fly on the base result set as we retrieve. This is slightly costly because we have to do this online once the query is issued. However, we saw that there was not a significant difference in the precision obtained over a large number of queries by this approach and the approach which we described by offline learning. So for our purposes to reduce the query time processing cost, we use the offline learning approach, but it can be replaced by this approach also. Finally, to summarize this thesis proposed a comprehensive framework for query processing over incomplete autonomous web databases. So we described the system QPR, which handles query processing over such databases. Next, we also described how we use this system in a data integration scenario over multiple incomplete autonomous sources. The results of empirical evaluation on real-world databases show that our system returns relevant uncertain answers with high precision while keeping the query processing costs manageable. So I would like to thank everyone for listening to my thesis, and now I would like to invite any questions which you may have.
Okay. You are saying you return results with high precision, right?
Yeah.
And in sense of your precision was around 55-60%.
That was across average, I mean, but
right. Okay. And in CAS it was
70% or
75%.
But in such incompleteness, I mean, the domains have very large values. I mean, for example, make has like 55 makes. For model, we have like 1,200 models. For year, we have 50 models, 50 years. So, I mean, if you are trying to predict a missing value over such a large range, you cannot expect to get like a 90% precision, because 90% means that your classifier is like the best in the world. But even if you use the best classifier over such a large domain, we cannot expect to get a very high precision.
In the CAR example, at least this information is available at other places. I mean, not in the database, but you can find all makes, all the details from other places.
No, but for example, given a Honda, say you have a Honda, your model is missing. How do you know it's a Civic, Civic or Accord or Odyssey? I mean, you have no way of guessing. It's just based
on. There's no functional dependence on that side, but if you know, say, a Civic is a Honda.
Yeah, that is 100. So that we can do by 100%. We have never got that wrong. But the course which we show was on body style, which is not like a strong functional dependency. It's over like body style, because you have Civic, which is sedan, coupe. You have many cars like Accord, sedan, coupe. But that has like 90%. But when we see an average, we are computing average over four types of queries: make, model, year, and body style, and color also. So because
I have a question.
Yeah.
Make model, you do 100%.
No, not in model. Model is pretty hard.
Yeah, model make.
For make and body style, we have pretty high, because those are like can be determined.
So given the model, we can make.
Yeah.
We can predict make.
Make. Yeah, exactly.
That was my question in the experiment. When you introduce the 10% randomness, you can boost up your result. With that randomness, how effective is it like?
It's randomly distributed across all the attributes. So, for example, we consider randomness nulls only on these 5 attributes, not on all attributes. So, we have a program which randomly picks one attribute and puts a null there. So, first time it's.
I think you should look at the original distribution of this null in the original database.
Okay, I see the point.
So, you should try your experiment. So,
yes, I agree with that. So like if you say that, say model has 3%, you should make sure that model is 3%.
Right.
Body style
right.
is 8%,
exactly.
So body style. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Then
I agree with that.
Then
we sort of simulate the yes. real.
Right.
Right. I agree. I agree with that.
Okay. The functional dependencies, the examples you gave were from one attribute to another.
Yeah.
So you use multiple attributes you want?
Yeah, that is also possible. I mean, if you get, like, for example, we have that. Make and year determines model.
Okay.
So then we use two attributes for determining a single attribute. So in that case,
allowed in the
sense. Yeah, that's allowed. So that's the example for simplicity we showed in that way. But
divided by adverse straightforward, right?
Yeah, straightforward. With M estimates. With M estimates.
Any questions?
So,
the comparison you had was kind of with respect to
two extremes. Yeah, AUA and RUA. Yeah. AUA is total dumb, which does not rank. It just randomly puts tuple which has null value.
So, no one else did anything
close. I mean, these approaches are also not done by anybody because they are totally dumb. I mean, so we are like the first one to attack this problem. Yeah. Yeah. So other domain, I mean, we should try this on different databases, especially on numerical attributes. So currently, we support them, but in our queries, we essentially use all the categorical attributes. So we could try on different domains, like say a real estate domain. That is, you have a house which has a certain price, number of bedroom, number of bathroom. So depending on certain features, we can try to predict this value, and it's also helpful for example, sometimes these websites don't show the price, and with our approach, at least you can guess the price, saying that okay, we estimate that this would be $100,000, which this much confidence. So it's also helpful in such scenarios, even if it doesn't contain a missing value or if it's not shown. Yeah, and like also if like we can have sort of if a used car seller is charging more, then we can say that based on this Honda 2000 model, we see that the price of this car has to be like 17,000, and if he's charging like 25,000, then you can say that okay, according to us, this looks like you don't buy this higher charge car, you would be fooled if you buy this car.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah.
So in that case, we might take some aggregations, right? So
yeah,
identify some correlated attributes and then compute the average numerical value.
Yeah, numerical values, I mean, it has to be sort of like a discretization or some binning so as to not to be considered the long domain range for numerical attributes. You need to do some sort of a discretization. Like for example, in price, what we tried is we rounded the price to every nearest 1,000. So for example, if your price is 15,500, we just round off to 15,000.
No, I think there are two possibilities. One,
make
it as a discrete value rounded to the nearest 1,000.
Yeah.
The other approach is more like
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, for all the sample, we can compute that for this model, average of this mileage would yield you this price, or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, these two methods can be used.
Yeah.
Interaction.
Right. And yeah, another scope of this was like we could handle more complex queries, like give me all the cars which have ratings greater than or equal to 5. So right now we only handle cars which have like rating equal to 5. So we could handle more complex queries, like range queries exactly. And once we bring in range queries, we have a lot of issues which come into the picture, because then it may be possible, like if a car has like a rating 5 and 6 with probabilities 0.6 and 0.4, then this car is definitely a relevant car to your query, because in both the cases it would have a rating greater than 5. So then we need to sort of aggregate the probabilities rather than just taking the max, which we do right now.
Okay, then you get to leave.